We're going to hear God's voice now in the Bible. Peter's friend wrote this. See, Peter, Jesus' friend, wrote this. All people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. So let's now hear the word of the Lord. Matthew chapter 15, page 982. And I know this is going back in Matthew. It's not a mistake. I'll explain shortly. But Matthew chapter 15, page 982. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they're not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, those of you who are regular know our normal pattern here is to go through the Bible through a book, passage by passage, because God has given us the Bible in books, 66 of them, and you read a book properly. Well, most books you read by going from front to back, not a telephone directory. But other books you read from front to back. And as we read the Bible like that, the Bible explains the Bible. Chapter 14 helps us understand 15, and 14 and 15 go on to 16, and it makes sense. But sometimes we can step off that sequence of going through chapter by chapter, passage by passage, and stop and ask a question about our situation. Well, what does God say in the Bible about how we make choices, or how we use the money he's given us, or how we live in families? What does God say about those things? And today I'm going to speak on the topic of the authority of the Bible. What is the authority that the Bible has? What do we understand as a group of Christians about that, the authority of the Bible? In all areas of understanding in life, we tend to rely on an authority. Even if it is us, you know, we might be the authority. So when there is a choice, a decision, a question, how do we choose, decide, answer the question? We give someone the last word on that, don't we? Whether it's the internet, you know, you Google it. Is it our parents, what they always told us? Is it the Bible, what the Bible says? Is it social influencers, people on the internet telling us what we should wear, what we should buy, what we should sing? Is it our feelings? Is that the final authority that helps us decide? Or our friendship group? We make one of these things the final authority. We give them the last word when we're trying to make a decision or choice or answer a question. And we use different authorities for different things. So this leaflet came in through my letterbox, a pizza leaflet. That is an authority in the price of pizzas. You can rely on that to tell you the cost of pizzas at that pizza shop. It's an authority. But it can't tell you the current status of trains on the District Line. It just doesn't have that information. You've got to go to the TfL website to get that information. I need a different authority. Or, well, there might be different authorities on that, mightn't there? There might be more than one. Your friend Bill might say, yeah, the trains are fine, but But the TFL website says, no, that line's closed. Which authority are you going to trust? You're going to trust the website? You're going to trust Bill? How you decide? Well, what authority has the Bible got? And why should we trust it at all? As Christians, we want to approach questions like this by asking, what did Jesus say? Christians follow Christ. We should do. It's in the name. Christians. We want to follow Christ. What did Christ say about the Bible? Let's look at this episode in Matthew 15. We're not going to just focus on this, but this is the taster that helps us think about this whole question. Back to verse 1. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. So these people are coming to Jesus. Is it just an innocent question? You know, why do your disciples do this? It's different from what our people do. Jesus has a very strong reaction, doesn't he? From what he goes on to say. So it's not just an innocent thing as far as Jesus is concerned. He asked them a question, verse 3. Jesus replied, why do you break the commands of God for the sake of your tradition? And then he gives them an example. For God said, honor your father and mother. And God also said, anyone who curses his father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, gives it a special sort of label, set it aside. Verse 6, they are not to honor their father or mother with it. So what's God's command? God's command is honor father and mother. But they're setting that command aside. They're saying, no, we've got this rule that means if you commit something to the work of the temple in Jerusalem, then that's sort of locked off. And you don't have to use that for honoring your father and mother. And Jesus says the effect of this is very serious. Verse 6. They're not to honor their father or mother with it. That's their teaching. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. Nullify means to make it zero, make it nothing. So he says there's two authorities here. There's the human tradition they're talking about, or there's the Bible. And Jesus says that there's a difference. And he goes on to say that those who have let human thinking, human tradition come first, have got hearts far from God. Verse 8, this is from the Old Testament. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. So he says they're hypocrites in verse 7. You hypocrites. Play acting. He says their worship is useless, verse 9, even though they might think it's very impressive. Did you know that? Did you know you could go to a church with super impressive worship and everyone thinks it's great, but God thinks it's useless and thinks the people doing it are hypocrites? That could happen here. That could happen here. Jesus here says some things are the word of God. And some things in their religion are not the word of God. Now, we have sung about how great we think Jesus is. We sometimes sing songs about how much we love Jesus. Do we love him enough to accept what he says about the Bible? Because that's a good measure, isn't it, of how much we love Jesus. We can get all excited about how wonderful my Lord Jesus is, but then reject what the Bible says. That doesn't fit, because my Lord Jesus is my King and my Savior. And he says the Bible is the word of God. How can I say I love the Lord Jesus and then say, but I know better than him about the Bible? My Lord Jesus, your Lord Jesus, if you're a Christian, he says the Bible is the word of God. Should have said, there's a chance for questions at the end of this. So if you've already got questions, don't forget them. There'll be a chance for you to shout a couple of questions after this talk. Now, the Bible doesn't claim to be. Jesus says the Bible is not an authority on everything in life. So, you know, the Bible is not an authority on the price of pizzas. You can't find it in there. It won't tell you that. It's not an authority of the state of the district line. You won't find that in the Bible. Okay, we need to go to the Bible for what the Bible says it's about. The Bible is an authority in knowing God. Mark, can we have the slide up just to remind us of this big point? The Bible is an authority in knowing God. Jesus says so. Okay, not Joel says so, not the Church of England says so. Jesus says so. The Bible is the authority in knowing God. Jesus says so. Now, nearly all Christians say, oh, yeah, we believe in the authority of the scriptures. But some actually let another authority have the final say, be the one that makes the decision, that chooses, that answers the question. And there are four main options. I'm sorry, I forgot to put these on the slide. Here are the four main options. There's only four, and you don't have to remember them. Bible, experience or feeling, tradition or institution, and reason or thinking. Let me explain those. So first, Bible. There's those who try to understand their lives the way the Bible teaches it. And so they say the Bible is the authority. The Bible is the place I find out about God and what God's will is for me. That's the first one. The second one was experience or feeling. Some people think that we can be led in our life with God through our feelings and our experiences. And those people, they're looking for movings of the Spirit or promptings of the Spirit so they know what God wants them to do. That's a different authority. A third group look for the tradition or the religion or the organization they're part of, like the Church of England. And if their church or their pastor or their bishop tells them what they should understand, well, that's what we must understand. That's what we must do. The Pope said it. We've got to do it. That's what the Roman Catholic approach is. So there's the Bible, there's feelings or experience, there's tradition, and then the last one is reason or thinking. It's what we can think about God, what makes sense to us. That's got to be right. And any religion, any life choices they make, they think, well, it's got to be what we thought out. And if the Bible says something that doesn't really make sense, well, let's go with what makes sense, because that's the final say. So the authority of the Bible, or the authority of my feelings, what I think God's leading me to, the authority of the way churches have always done stuff, tradition, or the authority of what makes sense to me, my thinking. Now, you can't just follow one of these entirely on its own, because as you'd expect, I'm going to say we're trying to be people who follow the authority of the Bible. But we've got to use our heads. We've got to use reason as we read the Bible, and our experience and feelings help us think how to live out the Bible. So we don't just use one of them entirely on their own. But there comes a point where you've got to choose between competing authorities. Let's go back to the district line. You know, do I go up to Dagenham East or not? Am I going to listen to Bill, or am I going to listen to the TfL website? One of those authorities is going to help me make that choice. Or I could say, no, I feel like I'm going to stay. It could be my feelings. But something is my final authority. In the issue between Jesus and the people who came from Jerusalem, their authority was their traditions, their rules that they'd thought up. And Jesus condemned them because he said they were rejecting the authority of the Bible. By doing that, they had made that choice and they'd chosen the wrong authority. What about for us? What if our experience, our feelings doesn't fit with what the Bible says? What are we going to choose? What if our reason, our thinking disagrees with what the Bible says? What are you going to choose? This is when we show what our real authority is. And in the situation of the Church of England, Dick Farr, who was here 3-4 weeks ago and spoke at the lunch afterwards, said some people in the Church of England are saying, look, if we make marriage for same-sex couples as well as men and women, then that will make the church more friendly to outsiders. And more people will come to church. You know, they're thinking, that's just their thinking. That's the authority for them. What's going to work? The Bible says what works is speaking the word of God. even if it doesn't always make sense to us. So everyone will, just about every Christian will say the Bible is their authority, but in practice, other things come first. And that was what was true for the people Jesus was speaking to, which is why he called them hypocrites. They said their hearts were all for Jesus, not for Jesus, all for God. They honored him with their lips, but their hearts were far from him, because the thing that was making the choice for them was their traditions, their reasoning. You put the next point up on the slide. So the Bible is the authority in knowing God. Jesus says so. It's easy to say the Bible is our authority, but not to live like it. That's Jesus's point. That's hypocrisy, isn't it? I love Jesus. He's my Lord and Savior. Actually, Jesus, I think I know better than you about the Bible. That's hypocrisy. And we find that amongst ourselves in our lives. You know, we believe the Bible's teaching. The Bible says I should forgive, but it feels so hard, so I'm not going to do it. What has the final say? The Bible or my feelings? It's my feelings. The Bible says sexual love is for marriage, between a man and a woman for life. But my boyfriend wants me to sleep with him. Oh, I'll give him because I'll let him have authority over this area of my life. The Bible is the authority in knowing God. Jesus says so. But it's easy to say the Bible's our authority and not live like it. Last point that I'm going to make is about the question of, well, how do you know what the Bible says? Sorry, if you could just go back one. The Bible's an authority, but who decides what the Bible means? What about different interpretations of the Bible? And also it's tricky because the Bible works different from other authorities. You know, you want to know the price of the pizza, you just look it up, don't you? So, I won't confuse myself by trying to work out what this does say, but you just look it up on the list. But the Bible is not a list like that. It doesn't work like that. And some people will read it like a magic book. Just open the Bible, find a verse, read it. Take the child and flee to Egypt. What are we going to do? We'll buy a ticket to go to Cairo? That's a sentence in the Bible. Is that for you? Do people read the Bible like that? Well, some people do. I've met them. That's how you can read a pizza menu, but it's not how you should read the Bible, because the Bible's written in books. We need to read it the right way. Let the Bible explain the Bible. Let the context explain it. This talk is an advert for tomorrow night, isn't it? Come to the session tomorrow night at 7:30 here in church, where we're going to learn how to read the words carefully. What about differences in interpreting that? If people have taken care, they haven't just snatched a verse out of the Bible like that. They've read it carefully and they still differ. So, for instance, what ceremony should we do when a couple in the church has a child? Should we dedicate that child to the God? Should we baptize the child? Or do we not do anything? And Christians who are working hard to learn from the Bible have come with each of those answers. They really want to follow God's word, but they can't agree. This is mainly because the Bible doesn't say very precisely and doesn't say very much about those issues. And so we can stay together with people who disagree on those things. But the fact that there are some areas like that where people disagree is then used as an excuse to avoid things that are much more clear. So people will say, oh, no, the Bible's not always clear. People who genuinely want to follow the Bible have got different answers. They've got different answers about how we look after children in church. Well, there's also different answers about sex and relationships and marriage. People reading the Bible come up with different answers to that. We'll just have to live together. But in this case, the Bible is very clear. It is very clear. And I've said this endlessly, but I'll say it again. Sexual intimacy is for one man and one woman in a loving, lifelong marriage. People who want to tell us that the Bible says otherwise should be able to answer for us, well, where does the Bible tell you that? Now, not where does the Bible tell you love's a good thing, because I love tomato ketchup. It doesn't make me a Christian. It's not where does it say love's a good thing. Where does it say love between two people of the same sex intimately is a good thing? It doesn't. They can't tell you that. Mark, now if we can put that last point up. So the Bible is the authority in knowing God. Jesus says so. But it's easy to say the Bible's the authority and not actually live like it. That's the danger that comes up in Matthew 15. We will follow the Bible's authority by carefully reading it and then obeying it. We need to carefully read it and then obey it. Okay, what are some practical effects for this? Firstly, it is easy to be a hypocrite, to say we love Jesus, but to let our thinking or our feelings or our traditions, whether it's cultural traditions or church traditions, let those control us. And we need to ask forgiveness when we're doing that. We can be forgiven. That's what we started our meeting with this morning. God forgives sinners. And then as forgiven, we then pray to him to start following the authority in the Bible. What is the Bible an authority in? It's not an authority in all your life decisions. What pizza should you have? How much pizza should cost? What's the train service like on the district line? And so use the Bible for what it's teaching us about, but listen to what the Bible says. Often you will hear people who say, I like to think of God as, and then fill in the blank. I like to think of God as, like my kindly uncle. I like to think of God as, they're not telling you anything about God. They're telling you what they like to think. The Bible is an authority about what, about who God is, what he's like. Brilliantly, if you listen to the authority of the Bible, you can have hope. You can be sure in a way your feelings cannot give you. If you let your feelings be the thing that decides for you what you believe about God and how you live, you will not be confident. You will not be secure because life is often so difficult and our feelings go up and down. But the Bible will give you assurance and give you hope. Fourth thing, we've got to take care to pay attention to the authority of the Bible. How do we do that on a Sunday morning? We read the Bible in church here. There's a Bible on the seat. And the intention is that you will use that Bible as it's taught. We sing songs, and what we try to do, Mark chiefly chooses the songs, but gives me and Reese a chance to question the choices. We try to have good tunes that we can sing. But the most important thing is that they're songs that are true on the basis of the Bible. Read the Bible yourself or with your family. Publicly in church, privately at home with your family. But also, third way, in conversation. Let the authority of the Bible be something that affects what you're talking with other Christians about God. And you're helping one another follow that in that authority. And lastly, when we make decisions. Do I sleep with my girlfriend? No, it's wrong. The Bible says it. It's not complicated. Do I encourage other Christians? Yes, the Bible says it. How do I encourage it? The Bible doesn't tell you. The Bible says you've got to think about this one. It says encourage other Christians and consider how you're going to do it. Now, if that thinking about it's tricky, ask someone who's an older Christian. How do I do that? How do I encourage other Christians? Not sure how to follow that instruction. What flavor pizza do I have? Doesn't matter. Bible doesn't care about that one. You're free. Okay. You're free on the pizza question. So the authority of the Bible. The Bible is the authority in knowing God. Jesus says so. But it's easy to say it's our authority, but not live like it. We will follow the Bible's authority by carefully reading it and then putting it into practice. Time for a couple of questions, if there are any. You're welcome to ask me questions afterwards, but if there's any now, that some, it might feel really obvious, but if it's a really obvious one, it's probably something everyone else is thinking. Go on, Chris.
Lots of Christians would love to feel the Bible has got ultimate authority. What happens and how do you face that when you don't feel it true for yourself? I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
I'm asking a question.
So Christian's question is, it's a statement that lots of Christians would like to feel that the Bible has authority, but what happens when you don't feel that? In what sense do you mean that you don't feel that? Might someone not feel that? Chris is saying this isn't his experience, but he's aware of it.
There's lots of people that go to church that pick up the Bible and read it at church, but they don't consider it to be their authority. They consider it to be the Bible that's at church.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, so it's not a particularly practical authority. So you know, my pizza menu and my TFL website, they are very practical authorities, aren't they? They affect me. How do we make this practical? And I think that's the third area of reading the Bible is most helpful in that. So we've got public on a Sunday, teaching the church, private, reading the Bible at home, yourself and with your family. And then the third thing, in conversation, which is something we do in our midweek growth groups, something you could do coffee time after church, something you could arrange to meet up with another Christian. Kathy's meeting with someone for coffee tomorrow morning. May come up in conversation, I don't know. But that's one of the ways in which we do this. We talk about life, and the other Christian has got a life hack from the Bible. They can say, yeah, I know the Bible speaks about that situation, and they can give you a help with that. Yeah, thank you. So that in that third way of letting the Bible have authority, there's the public in the church, the private at home, and I've answered in a sense that question, how do I encourage other Christians? It's in conversation, share with them lessons I've learned that connect to their questions, their life experiences. And yeah, do you want to grow as a Christian? Do you want the Bible to be an authority in your life? It's a no-brainer. Why don't you get into these conversations? Why don't you come to a midweek group? Stay for tea and coffee after church. Ask questions of me and other Christians who you see around you who know more than you of the Bible about situations you're experiencing. Okay, let's have a 30-second pause, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Mighty God, Jesus was very, what's the word? He was strongly worded in speaking to the hypocrites who said that they wanted to follow your way, but in truth loved the traditions of man and their own thinking. Please don't let us be hypocrites who come here on a Sunday and sing songs about you and find help from teaching, but then the rest of the week, really, your word will have no authority for us. Please forgive us for the times that we act like that. I know that's an issue in my life, and I know it's an issue for us all. Forgive us, help us to listen more carefully, and to let your word take its right authority in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.